All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, we're continuing the Psalms of Ascent. Ben was telling me earlier this morning that the group Acapella has pretty much done every one of these Psalms of Ascent. So if you want to do a search and find these Psalm 120 to 134, that you find Acapella version of this. These have been put to music. They began as music, and some of our brothers in Christ have put them back to music. Well, back to melody, I guess, not back to music, but you'll be able to find those if you start doing some searches to kind of prepare yourself for the week. I think that's an amazing thing. Church, when we get back together, and look forward with me for a little bit, hopefully not too far in the future, but soon, when we get back together, it is going to be a reunion, much like Israel experienced as they came together to Jerusalem, having traveled miles and miles to come and worship God. Now, they just got to come a few times a year for the high holy holidays. We take for granted, I guess, that we used to come together weekly. We came together on a regular basis. But when we do come together, we're going to share our struggles. We're going to have stories. We're going to share our frustrations, and we're also going to share our joy for being together once again, for being able to hear songs sung by our brothers and sisters in Christ again, by being able to share and to hug and to be close to each other again. It's going to be such an amazing thing. It's going to be such an amazing thing. And as we share our struggles, I imagine that Israel was a lot like this. That as they got to Jerusalem, that they would be sitting around the campfire, they would see cousins and family members and tribesmen that they hadn't seen in a long time. As they shared their stories of the last year, as they talked about all that they had gone through, all that they had endured, all that they had accomplished, really. I mean, because when you get with your family, when you're with extended family, everybody wants to know, okay, how are you doing? How are the kids doing? How's the job doing? We ask those normal things, and we want to know about each other, but really we're just checking off the checklist, aren't we? We're asking each other how things are going because we really want to know, are you winning or are you losing? Really, how do you stand? How do you stand? So I can imagine as Israel starts to come together and as they share these stories of the last year about, well, you know, the company's doing really well, we got to expand the business this much or that much, or, you know, here's my kids' list of accomplishments and all that they're into. I can imagine that someone would break out singing Psalm 127. And this song, as it is sung, reminds God's people that it is the Lord's work that is central. That my work, your work, and I'm not just talking about our secular work, I'm talking about our work in the kingdom. Anything that we would do is side work, is peripheral to the central work of what God is doing. And so it's a great reminder, and I want us to read together Psalm 127. He starts in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. All right, so here we have this song. This song that as Israel is all gathered together, that someone writes and says, hey guys, as we're catching up with each other's lives, as we are sharing good news with each other, as we're talking about, you know, the things that we have accomplished and everything that we've done, Psalm 127 just breaks out and says, Israel, church, God's people, remember and keep it in your heart. It is God's work that is most important. It is God's work that is most important. And church, what good news to us to hear today, that God's work is most important. That what he is doing is so much greater and so much more important to my life than my work. And so we see in Psalm 127, look at the three verbs. There's three verbs in this song, and they all belong to God. It's not what I'm doing. It's not what you're doing. It's not what someone else would be doing. But look what look at the verbs there. He builds the house. God builds the house. He guards the city. He guards the city. And number three, he blesses with family. He blesses with family. You know, this song points out our place as God's children. Don't you love being a child of God? I love being a child of God. Because whatever family you came from, or whatever your experience is being a literal child, to be a child of God and to know the nature of God and how good God is and how much He loves and how much He cares and how much He provides and how much He forgives. See, God blesses us with gifts. He blesses us by taking care of us, by providing for us. He builds the house. He watches over the city, and He provides us the reward of family. Now, as God blesses us with these gifts, church, the great thing about this song is we get to enjoy and manage those gifts. We get to enjoy and manage those gifts. Now, you may already live your life like that, but if you don't, I want you to consider a few things this morning. First, I want you to consider ownership brings a lot of stress. Ownership brings a lot of stress. You notice that the difference, think back to your early years. Maybe it was when you were becoming an adult or after you got married and you bought that first house. You're going from being a renter to being a homeowner. Now, for a lot of us, we built it into our psyche that that's just one of the steps that we have to take on our journey of growing up. You buy a house, you get settled, you save up a little money, and you buy a house. But do you remember what it was like to be a renter? When you were a renter, you made sure the check got mailed and you had a phone number. And the phone number was to the landlord. Whether you were in a rent house or you were in an apartment and something went wrong, call that number. Call that number, and that landlord would just rush on over, and they would fix things, and they would seal things, and they would solve things, and you would just keep on living your life. But when you became a homeowner, it didn't come with a magic phone number, did it? No. No, you lost the phone number, and now you're responsible for everything. Wait a minute, a septic system costs how much? air conditioning unit? The air conditioning unit has to be replaced, can't be fixed. How much do those go for? Yeah, I remember the good old days when you were just a renter and they said, oh, well, the air conditioner's broken, I'm going to have to get a new unit put in. And you were like, great, I'll make sure my rent payment's on time this month. See, ownership brings with it a lot of responsibilities. And a lot of stress. It's stressful being an owner. You think about owners of a business, right? Think about owning the business versus just working for a business. There's a lot of stress that the owner has to deal with that employees don't have to deal with. You know, we're always talking about, you know, the society around us, the news is always talking about the rich, evil business owners. But you know what? There's a lot of stress on business owners that have so much on their shoulders to provide not only a safe work environment for their employees, but a safe wage and a good wage that will cause them to want to keep on working for you and work with a good attitude. I think about business owners during this time of isolation. You know, the government comes out and says, well, these businesses are essential, and so they need to keep on going. These businesses, well, they're forced to shut down, and then some are just trying to figure things out in between. And so there's a lot of stress and a lot of worry that business owners have to carry on their shoulders. And so ownership has a lot of stress. It's got a lot of problems with it. And being a child of God, this song reminds us that God is the owner. That He's the one carrying the problems on His shoulders. Right? What are we called to do? We're called to enjoy and to manage. See, a manager, and good managers, they work hard, but at the end of the day, at the end of the shift, they go home and they sleep. They enjoy the rest. I did everything I could today, now I'm done. That's what a good manager does. Because in the end, it's not ours. It's His. It's His. And so God calls us to be a good manager of the things that He owns. And when you're managing things right, you get to enjoy them. You get to enjoy the fruits of your labor. And two, you get to let go of the stress. Because in the end, it's not yours. Church, that is an amazing way to see the gifts that God provides for us. Whatever it is, our family, our cities, our homes, our society, it's not ours. It is not ours. Everything that we have has been given to us by our Father in heaven. He builds it. He watches over it. He blesses it. You and I are called to do two things. Enjoy it and manage it well. Enjoy it and manage it well. That is such an amazing thing about this psalm. God builds the house, because if God didn't build the house, well, you know, you're wasting time. You're building in vain. Because without his efforts, your fruit is not going to turn out well. If He doesn't watch over the city, then you stand up all night. All right, I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to guard everything. You're wasting your time, because if they want to get in, they'll get in. And then your family. Your family is a reward. Your family is a gift. You can think of whether your own story or people that you probably know, someone that had a hard time starting a family, having kids. And you can remember the story of the great lengths that people had to go through to try to have families. And then here, the psalmist said, this song is, look, this is a gift from God. This is a reward from God to open up and provide you with a family. That is a blessing. That's a blessing. And so the good news of all this is that God owns it and we get to enjoy it. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll take a look at what Jesus has to say about some of these things. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And He said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So Jesus tells these stories, and these are parables. These are, you know, stories that He used, almost Jesus' code language. You know, He is encouraging people to try to figure these things out, but He's not just laying everything out. He's speaking in such a way that requires some work. And so He tells this story, and He says, look, you need to pay attention to what God provides. You need to pay attention to what God provides you in your life. And when you do, when you notice what God provides, you will be blessed with even more. Now, church, I'm going to try to put the words and explain this concept for you, but you need to be praying in the Spirit to ask God to show you this. Because I can talk about it, but if you don't live it, and if you don't get it, it's kind of hard to understand. It's a simple concept. It is very difficult. It is simple in its complexity, but it's very difficult to actually live out. All right. Jesus is basically telling those who would hear, telling those who would follow Him, that when life as seen as His blessings, then we're going to receive even more blessings. When we see all of life as a blessing from God, then we receive even more blessing. So, he said, 24, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to God's Word. Listen and believe the things that He has told us about Himself, the ways in which He has described Himself, the way in which He has opened up His nature to his children in the form of Jesus Christ, allowing us to follow his life here on this earth to see what is truly important and what is truly not important. And as we understand the gifts of God, as we understand that it is God who provides us the gifts, the talents that we have to get anything done in life, when we understand that it is God who provides those things, we're going to have even more. If we think that, oh, well, I'm putting in this effort, I've done this work, I got that good job, I went to school, I went through that training, I'm the one that busts my hump trying to get through that day to provide for all my family. If you are stuck in there, you're going to have a hard time seeing God's blessing. If you are still looking at everything that you have as the fruits of your own hard work, you're going to have a hard time lifting your eyes to see what God wants you to see, and that is, here's what I've provided for you, manage it well, and I will provide more. That's how God wants us to see things. My home, whatever additions I do to it, however big or however small it is, God has built that for us. My city, the walls of my house, or our community, or our church, or wherever we are, it is not me that guards it. It's the Lord that guards it. And then finally, my family, it's not through my efforts, which, you know, he allows us to play a part in growing our families, but it is his blessing that opens everything up to allow us to have children, to allow us to have a family that is around us, that is with us. And so when we start to see all of these things as God's work, as God's blessing, then we're going to be blessed with even more. Now, this is a whole different way from seeing life as, if it helps me right now, it's a blessing from God. If it doesn't help me right now, it's not a blessing from God. That's how way too many people view God's work. Way too many people go through their day, go through their life, and they say, okay, if it was a good day, a good thing, or something that I can see an immediate benefit from, it must be from God. And that's God's blessing, and we'll thank him for it. As opposed to that thing that was unpleasant that happened to me today. Or that chapter in life where it felt like we were going down, or we were going backwards. Well, I, in my wisdom, I do that as not being a blessing from God, because I can't see its immediate benefit to me. Jesus reminds us here in these words. He says, listen, if you got ears, pay attention. Perk them up and listen. Okay? Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. Look, if you view the world as, if it's a good day, it's from God. If it was a bad day, it must have not been blessed by God. If that's how you view the world, that's as far as you're going to get. But if we can see beyond that to what Jesus wants us to see, if we can actually believe the promises that God provides for us, if we actually trust his word that he says that he is good, that he blesses us, that he works all things out according to his will, that his kingdom is more powerful and more blessed than our kingdom, that his power is far more abundant and greater than our power and our efforts. If we can start to trust that God is actually in control of what's going on, if we can start to trust that God really is God, that he created all things for his purposes, that totally flies in the face of this idea that, well, God made everything, but oh, whoops, Eve ate from the fruit, so okay, it's all messed up, so good luck. Oh, yeah, none of them did it, so I'll send Jesus. Good luck again. You know, too many people have that view of God, like he is just sitting aloof and he has just left us all to our own devices. At the same time, I don't know, you may be one of those that you see God's hand in everything. You see God's hand in everything, but you see him directing this, and you see him directing that. I think a lot of us are a little more scared, or more, most of the people that I know from our religious tradition are afraid to give God credit for things in their lives around them. We don't want him to get bad press So we don't want him to get any blame. So we're afraid to give him credit for the things around us that happen. But Jesus here in Mark's gospel is opening our eyes to the fact that he's got more going on than we realize. He's got more going on than we recognize. And so just like that light that gives light, he also says, oh yeah, this seed that's planted, it grows on its own. Look, you plant the seed and then you go to bed. Your work's done. You rest. And God is still working in that little seed, causing it to grow, causing it to do more than what you and I could possibly do. We can't make a seed sprout. I mean, we can put it in the ground. We can put water on it. We can give it good conditions to grow. We can't make it grow. God makes it grow. That is an amazing thing. We plant in faith. God causes the growth. Now, back to Psalm 127. The second half, I'm sure you noticed, of this psalm is all about kids. It's all about children. And with this social distancing, we have been given so much time with our kids these days, haven't we? I mean, we are, okay, we're stuck with our kids. Some of you have become teachers. That's not what you went to school for. That's not the plans you had for your life. You figured at some point that somebody else would be in charge of their education. That, you know, you would handle them, you would raise them, you would teach them right and wrong, but someone else would educate them. And a lot of us are now the main educators in our families. You know, we need to make sure that we see our children. Because I know some of you are probably tired of your kids right now. Some of you are probably ready for them to go, to get out there, to spend some time somewhere else. I know that you follow the memes and you see the things that just kind of make you chuckle as you scroll through Facebook or whatever you're looking at. I forget what she called it, but the kid was kind of upset. This coming fall, he was standing in line for the bus, and then his mom was just out there so excited the first day of school to actually be sending her kid back to school so that someone else could be in charge of his education. The kid was kind of indignant. He's like, well, Mom, it's not that big a deal. But we do not need to see our children as a frustration. Do they do things that get on our nerves from time to time? Sure. But children are a blessing from God. Now, that may cause a frustration, but you know what? Parents, I'm going to talk to you for a second. You don't think we cause our Father in Heaven frustration from time to time? You don't think our Father in Heaven looks at us, us big kids, us adults, us parents, moms and dads, looks at us and go, wow, they really shouldn't be doing that still. How many times have I told them not to do that? Really? Let's just peel your heart back, peel your life back just for a minute. Just be honest. Just be honest. How many times has your Father in Heaven had to look at you and go, how many times do I have to tell you, quit worrying about this stuff? And what do? We just keep on going and worrying about it. Our Father in Heaven looks at us and he says, how many times have I had to tell you that I will take care of that? You just need to trust me. Just trust me. And you and I just refuse to trust. All right, so Mom and Dad, when you're dealing with those kids, and that horrible phrase comes out of my mouth, how many times have I told you? Parents, we're no different than our children. And they're going to grow up just like we think we're grown up, but we are all children of God. I'm sure we frustrate Him as much as our kids frustrate us, but you know what? He doesn't quit on us. He doesn't give up on us. He keeps on loving us. He keeps on providing and extending more grace to us. And every single one of you parents, I know how thankful and how grateful you are for the grace of God. I know that you have messed things up as a parent, that you have done things wrong, or you've said things that you would like to have taken back, or you've done things and said, wow, I really should have done that better. Kids. I'm going to talk to you for a second, okay? Everybody listen up. You are a blessing from God, okay? You're a blessing from God. You're a reward from God. That's what the second half of this song, verses 3, 4, and 5 say. I mean, if there's, maybe if there's a, some Bible verse memorization that happens this week, it's be a good place. Kids, you just tell your parents, hey, I'm going to memorize three verses of the Bible. Psalm 127, 3, 4, and 5. Now, you are a blessing from God, but that means you need to continue to be a blessing from God. Okay? You have been blessed with God as a gift, but every gift can spoil. Every gift can go the wrong way. So if you make sure that yourself, that your life as a kid, as your mom and dad's kid, that you make sure that you continue to be a blessing from God. Because it says there in the last verse, verse 5, see, the man's happy who fills his quiver with them. He has a lot of kids. He's got a lot of kids. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. That is, when he goes to the wall, when he talks to people who are visiting or people that are around him, if he goes and talks about his kids, he will not be put to shame when he mentions you. So kids, I'm going to throw this little challenge your way. When your mom and dad talk to you, to grandma and grandpa, do they have good things to say? When your mom and dad talk to their other adult friends, when they talk to their coworkers, when they talk to their church friends, when they talk to others around them, do they talk about you in a way that shows that you are actually a blessing to them? It's a good thing to think about. So you are a blessing from God, but you need to keep being a blessing from God. Okay? All right, let's turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to finish over here this morning. John chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 6. Now, as we think about our kids being a blessing, they make us proud. And they make us proud because that's our gift and our lineage. We get to continue family and we get to continue faith throughout the generations. John chapter 1, let's start in verse 6. And let's see how all of us, parents, kids, let's see how all of us are God's children. John chapter 1 verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe in him. Believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So, church, through our belief in Jesus, through the fact that we believe the testimony, the same testimony that began with John. John came and said, hey, look, I hear and I have a message, I have a ministry to point you all to God's only begotten Son, to Jesus Christ. And he tells everybody, it's not about me, I'm just the messenger. It's the fact that we need to believe that Jesus has come from God, belongs to God, and is going to serve God. We have become and been given this gift, this grace upon grace, in our belief in Jesus Christ. The fact that you and I today can stand up wherever we are, and tomorrow, or in the future, when we get back among other people, that we can continue to stand up wherever we are and say, I am a child of God through Jesus Christ. That is the gift that God gives us. That's the gift that God gives us. That is the blessing. That is his grace that he pours out to us. And his grace, his cup runs over. And His grace is constant. And His grace is bountiful. And His grace is wonderful. And it forgives us of our sins. And it guides our steps. And it fills us with His Holy Spirit. It is all His grace. It is all His awesome power poured out upon our lives in such humble and gentle ways that we can understand, that we can comprehend, that we can participate in and be a part of. Church, it is all about the grace of God. It is all about the work that God is doing in your life and in my life. Unless God builds the house, you're wasting your time. Unless God guards the city, they're going to get in anyway. And unless God provides the family, you're not going to have anyone around you. This is His greatest gift to us. This is His greatest provision. This is what John is talking about in John chapter 1. You and I, through our belief, have been born of God. We have a Father who builds, who guards, and who blesses. I hope that you see the light. I hope that you see the light. I hope that you have your eyes open and realize how much God has done for you. I hope that you see the light every single day of your life and realize everything that God is doing for you. I hope that you see the light and understand all the blessings that God pours out on you continuously, grace upon grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You and I are witnesses to that. You and I are believers in that. So church, continue to be strong. Continue to be faithful. Continue to pay attention to wherever you may see the grace of God. Because I have a feeling that it is more abundant and more prevalent than you and I are taking notice of. So pay attention. Pay attention.